Welcome back into Morning Drive here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Alex Apple from Fox 17 News taking you through this Monday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. And it's that time of week. We bring in our good friend Darren McFarland of Darren, Donick & Chase, presented by Craneworks, serving the Southeast for over 30 years. Visit craneworks.com. D-Mac, what's going on, man?
Hey, Mike, I'll talk to you later. Okay. Hey, guys, what's up? Sorry, I was just FaceTiming Mike Vrabel.
Oh, nice.
I had to wrap that up.
Nicely done.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
why you're a pro
was
in this
Edelman
business.
There with you?
Seems like, no, I'm not with Julian, no. But it seems like everybody else is FaceTiming Mike Vrabel. So I just thought, you know, it's Monday. I might as well, too. So what's going on?
Darren, what did you make of all that this weekend with the hoopla surrounding the FaceTime video with Brady Edelman and Mike Vrabel? I love every second of this, and the more things like this happen, the more intriguing it gets for me.
I think, Robbie, that is that's an ask and an answer. You know my answer, right? You know exactly.
Oh, I know what you're going to say.
Of course, I love this. Of course, it just builds the drama. I don't know what's going to happen, but it certainly makes the intrigue even more. I think what's interesting about this as we continue to discuss this for weeks on end. Is as much as we talk about it, none of us know, but what seemed like fantasy land, right? When this whole conversation first came up, I would say the doubters were in the 90th percentile. I think that's probably fair to say.
Oh, yeah.
And now when you look at it, it's like, you know, I don't know if it's 50-50. I don't know where it is on people, whether they believe, but I think a lot of people have switched sides. I guess that's the best way to put it, where they said, yeah, whatever, Tom's never leaving.
My
now
hope is
people are like, yeah, okay, maybe he's going to leave. Okay, I get it. Maybe he's leaving. So it's just interesting how this thing has evolved from the beginning, where most people are like, hooey fooey, not going to happen. He's not going anywhere. And I would say a lot of those people, and I mean a lot, have converted to the other side and said, maybe he is leaving. So that's what's been fun for me.
I think Vrabel's savvy enough, too. If he caught a picture of those guys sitting up at the game and thought, man, I'm going to FaceTime these guys. Somebody will catch that for sure. He does love a good troll job at some points like that. But let me ask you, as far as Jack Conklin we talked about earlier, our consensus seemed to be that maybe the most likely outcome, if Jack Conklin is going to have a lot of suitors in free agency and that's going to run up his price, is that the Titans would franchise tag him. Do you think that's fair?
I just don't see them using that on Jack Conklin. What's interesting is going back to the original conversation is I do wonder if TB12 is actually a reality, if that does change the mindset of John Robinson, if that has to change your plans. If it's Ryan Tannehill, is it one direction with Jack Conklin? If it's Tom Brady, is it another with Jack Conklin? And I think that's a fair question to ask. I don't think we know the answer, but I suspect there are two different plans. I would think that with Ryan Tannehill, a younger, more mobile quarterback, that while you like Jack Conklin to be back, it's very clear somebody's probably going to overpay him. There's already reports out there that the Jets are willing to do that. And, you know, for goodness sakes, if you're Jack and it's the Jets, you need to be overpaid to go play for the New York Jets. That, you know, they'll just let him walk and say, you know, thanks for everything. Thanks for the 4 years. But if it's Tom Brady, to your point, an older and not mobile quarterback, maybe that does change what you're willing to do or the necessity of having your right tackle in place that you know what he brings to the table week in and week out. So maybe that changes their plan of, well, we're not willing to overpay like other people, but we can slap a tag on him and keep him around, at least in the short term, because let's be honest, a Tom Brady scenario is in the short term. I mean, nobody is saying Tom Brady is coming here to try to get him to the Super Bowl in the next 5 years. I think everybody feels, at least I do, that it's probably a 2-year window. I mean, that's what they're going for 2 years. And I don't fault a franchise for doing that. I certainly don't fault the Titans if they do it and it doesn't work. If you go for it for 2 years with Tom Brady and it doesn't work out, so be it. It creates tons of fan interaction, media interaction, talk about your product for 2 years that they have never seen in this market. So is that a bad thing? I say no. But I do believe, to your point, that Jack Conklin maybe hinges on who's under center this season.
Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick & Chase on the line with us. And, Darren, we've been talking about the situation that happened Saturday night in the Predators game, the goaltender interference call on Colin. Yes, the travesty that was that call on Colin Blackwell. And it's brought up the discussion, should referees in professional sports be held more accountable than they are right now? Number one, what would your answer to that be? And number two, I guess, how would you go about making them more accountable if you're a commissioner of one of these leagues?
Well, I don't really look at it as holding the referees more accountable. I look at it as holding the league more accountable. I mean, the rule states that there was nothing else that they could do once the penalty was up. I don't fault a referee. And, everybody knows, anybody watches the product. This professional sports, period. But hockey is a very, very fast game, and especially down on the ice. I've always encouraged fans, if you can get one game to sit on the glass, it'll change how you view the NHL. It is an unbelievable experience to sit on the glass and watch how fast these guys are moving and how they hit and how a lot of them, how big they are, and they're able to do what they do on a blade, on a sheet of ice. But I don't fault them for calling it because contact was made, and so they called a penalty. I get it. We all have had the luxury of seeing the slowed down version for several times, and we've come to a different conclusion. Well, guess what? They don't get the vantage point of seeing the slowed down version where they get to go frame by frame and see, oh, now wait a minute. There's a reason why this contact was made. So to me, if the league needs to change the rules where you should be able to review it, because in the end, aren't we all just trying to get the call right? Shouldn't that be in the league's best interest?
Should be.
Getting the call right?
And that ultimately avoids our having spent 30 to 45 minutes this morning talking about one call and thus questioning the product on the ice. Now, when it comes to judging the officials, though, Robbie has always wanted to be able to interview an official after the game. I think you have to insulate him a little bit more.
Of me.
Sure, but but it's a valid point that a lot of fans would agree with. Is a statement, though, enough, Darren? Like, is that accountability to you? A league says that, well, we messed up and move forward.
You know where those statements go?
Nowhere.
Right in the trash bin. That's where they go. They mean nothing. It means absolutely nothing. I don't even know why the league would do that. Sorry. Who cares? Did you change the outcome of the game? Because that's what the team wants to know.
Right.
Are you giving us 2 points or a point? Because likely that game goes to overtime and maybe a shootout and maybe we get 2, but at least we get a point. Are you willing to do that? No? Okay. Crumble up a piece of paper and throw it in the trash. I mean, it means nothing. I mean, saying we messed up or they messed up means nothing to a team that lost. It just doesn't. They don't get in there and feel better after they read it. I'm like, okay, all right, we feel a little bit better. At least they've admitted it. No. To me, it's just about the league. The league has got to be on board of, and it's interesting, which, Robbie, you know this, where's David Poyle right now?
GM meetings.
Yeah, yeah. And I wonder if stuff like this gets brought up. I wonder how much that they're willing to push the league to say, hey, we need to get these calls right. And I will say this, the league has done a pretty good job of it, you know, implementing things and trying to get things right when it seems like at first it's going the wrong direction and they maybe make a change here, a change there, or a tweak here, a tweak there. I don't know what's going to come of it, but I would like for them to not put these referees in that bad spot because they messed up. They did. They got it wrong. But by rule, nobody can challenge that play. So therefore, because a penalty was called, nothing can happen. Nothing can change. And that's the part that should irritate people. It irritates me. And that's the part that's got to be changed moving forward.
Darren, last thing for you here. What did you make of the response of the crowd on Saturday night at the Nashville SC game? 59,000 people in attendance. And if I were to tell you, 25, 30 years ago that one day in Nashville, Tennessee, there would be a night where 59,000 people are at a soccer game and 18,000 people are at a hockey game, what would your response have been?
Well, I think we know in the last 5 years in this city, our responses 20 and 25 years ago would have been laughter at basically everything. So, that just falls in line with everything that's happened in our city in the last 5 years. If you ask, do you think this would happen? What would I do? If I told you this is going to happen in Nashville 20, 25 years ago, I mean, people would be on the floor just grabbing their stomach and laughter and probably have to get taken to the hospital because their side hurts so much. But, you know, we've stopped laughing at that stuff. We've stopped doubting what goes on in the city because we know, not to go Kevin Garnett, but anything's possible, and I'm not going to scream it.
Please don't.
So, so I'm not surprised. It's 59,000. It's great. But I will say this, and I don't want to be the Baby Ruth from Punch Bowl, and I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but if you've heard me once, you've heard me many times on Darren, Donick, and Chase say, don't tell me about how great the restaurant is the first month or even 3 months or the first 6 months, because you know what? Everybody goes at a brand-new restaurant. Tell me how it's doing in a year. But, you know, I want to know what's the follow-up. What does it look like in June when Miami International comes in? You know what I mean? Like, that's what I want to see. Am I impressed by Saturday? Sure. But Atlanta's also got a huge fan base that travels well, and they get 60, 65, 70,000 for their games. Tell me what's happening in June. That's what I'm very curious to know, is what's the follow-up to this? What are we saying in 4 months for a home game? And that's what I want to see, you know, what this looks like. Does this continue to build? Does this continue to grow? You know, was that the max? I know it's not. I know soccer. The fans are crazy, and that's great, and it's going to be good for us. But I do want to see how it plays out the rest of the season and beyond to see what we've truly got here in Nashville.
Darren McFarland from Darren, Donick, and Chase has been our guest here on Morning Drive, presented by Craneworks. Darren, thanks, man, for joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for not being like the refs. You guys got this one right.
Thanks. Yeah, thank you. Well done. Darren McFarland, ladies and gentlemen. I do wonder what this crowd continues to look like as Nashville SC continues to go through their season here, because he's right. It's one thing to have it for the first game of the season. You knew there was a big spectacle surrounding the game. There was a big buildup around the game, especially after all the stadium stuff that went on the last few weeks. I think the fan base wanted to send a message to the rest of the city of Nashville that look how successful this can be. Look how many people are going to be here. I am excited to see and interested to see, I guess, is more accurate, what happens as they move ahead here.
Yeah, but to his point, all you can grade them on, or sort of against his point a little bit, all you can grade them on is what's happened so far. So far, first good act. And the key for them each game is to create an environment and an atmosphere that's going to get those people to spend their money on a soccer ticket again. And you're not talking about your season ticket holders. You're talking about the other 40,000 people that bought a ticket for that game and came. And then you have to grow that, people that want to come back for the environment, especially as you're unsure how this team's going to be. This team could be great. Teams could be terrible. You don't know. So you've got to get them to come back for the environment. Chapter one of that, you give them a good grade. Now, is every team going to bring 30,000? No. So the biggest proving point maybe next is when Atlanta doesn't bring 30,000 fans, are those 25,000 fans still enjoying a great atmosphere in that stadium?
Yeah. When we come back, it was an interesting weekend, and FaceTime Gate took place this weekend with Mike Vrabel, Tom Brady, and Julian Edelman. We'll get into that next and the hoopla that surrounded all of that. This is Morning Drive with Robbie Stanley and Alex Apple here on ESPN 102.5 The Game.